Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome in the After Hours, J.P. Inkley, Chris Unocero with me tonight, producing the operation. Good evening to you, character concerns partner.
Hey, what's up, man?
It's not character concerns, but we like to plug it. And why? Because it's 96.5 The Fan podcast, so why can't we? You know what I mean? Good seeing you. We put our new one out this Tuesday, by the way, as we looked at all the matchups in college football and potential draft picks in each and every one of them and how the rookies fared in Chiefs training camp as well. Had a lot of fun with that. But the Royals lose today, and we'll get to the Chiefs too. Obviously, a bunch of things to talk about with Samaje Perine, Cam Thomas, Eric Scott from Baser Linwood and others, and Bailey Zappe joining the practice squad. But Samaje Perine on the active roster, we'll certainly talk a lot about that as the Chiefs finalize the roster and what some of these additions mean to the Kansas City Chiefs. Our text line, 913-586-7965, J Southland Tow Service text line. Be sure to text in your thoughts about the Kansas City Royals. I'd love to hear them. Are you upset today, or are you just like, okay, it's another game? Royals lose 7-5 to the Guardians. It was a game where they had the lead. Then, of course, Cleveland comes back and wins. But the Royals won 3-4 in this 20-game stretch that Vern nicknames aptly his Riptide. This team still has a winning record within that.
Vern's great at coming up with nicknames.
Oh, he's perfect, isn't he?
The seasons, the stretches during the season.
And was it 17, the senior class?
Yeah.
When all those guys were getting ready to leave the Royals and the Moose ended up coming back. But anyway, some of these fans are calling in about the bullpen. And everything. First of all, their bullpen was taxed 100% when your starters were going, 10 and a third innings in this series. Things were going to happen. But this team, by the way, is still fun to watch. And I know Cleveland won today, but ask yourself this, and I'd love for you to text in, who do you trust more right now, the Kansas City Royals or the Cleveland Guardians? Because I'm taking the Royals 100% of the way. They're, 7-3 now against Cleveland this year? 7-3 against the Guardians. They'll get the Guardians here at home as well. That is domination against them to this point. Yes, Cleveland did win. I don't care. They're suffocating themselves. They're choking on the water because the Royals are the up-and-coming team. Quite frankly, Chris, very easily, if I ask you who you trust more, Cleveland or Kansas City, even with Cleveland with the one-game lead, who gives a damn because the Royals just keep storming back? They were 10 games back at one point.
I mean, at this point, I don't know how you could. Like, at this point, this very much kind of seems like they're kind of on diverging paths. Cleveland had a great chance to really kind of wrap this division up and get themselves into a nice lead. And right now, they're teetering on losing control of the division right now. And you look at the Royals, and this is a team that really is kind of playing with house money right now. And I kind of feel like people who are kind of panicking about this situation are they're not people who watch enough baseball to where, like, your opinion is really that valuable. You know, to me, it's like people are applying football logic to baseball, and they take every loss the way that they would a football loss, a loss by the Chiefs, a loss by their favorite college football team. And to me, it's like, I don't really care about those opinions because, like, clearly you don't know enough for you to be able to, like, opine on this situation here. I understand it could be frustrating watching your team lose, but, like, the best teams lose most, you know, a good chunk of their games. They lose, like, 60, 70 games still.
Oh,
that's a lot of losses to have in baseball. So if you're going to be mad about every loss, you're going to be mad all the time watching baseball.
Oh, yeah, and they took 3 out of 4. From Cleveland.
Yeah, they took 3 out of 4. Like, if you would have told me at the beginning of the series you take 3 out of 4, that's a major success. Like, being mad that they didn't sweep a team is incredibly irrational. And I to me, it's like, anybody being that irrational, I don't care what you think.
And going into the day, Matty Q finally took over manager of the year, odds over Stephen Vogt of Cleveland. Cleveland was a 76-game winner last year. No, they didn't make the playoffs. Stephen Vogt takes over. But Cleveland was a lot better than Royals. Because all I've heard is this whole notion, like Andy Reid, he's one coach of the year, one. He's number two all-time in postseason wins, number four all-time in wins. But the argument is, when you have it with people, and I understand how they vote this thing, you have to have a bad year, then you have to be good the next year. Now, I think they vote too early on it. D'Amico Ryan should have been it last year for what he did at Houston. But Kevin Stefanski won his second one in Cleveland, and Stefanski was hammered in the first round of the playoffs by Houston and D'Amico Ryan.
Yeah, but they usually don't do that for the postseason.
No, they do it during the regular season. I understand when they vote. I mean, this is when they vote. Yeah. In the NFL Top 100, it was voted on around Thanksgiving time.
Yeah.
The Chiefs were struggling at that point. It was not the team that won the World Championship. I'm just saying wait till voting at the end. But Matty Q, he 100%, and he took over the odds lead today. But put it this way, per Rustin Dodd, the Kansas City Royals, 75-59 now. One game back from first place. They were in first place. They need to finish 17-12. So in their last 29 games to match the 1903 Giants for the biggest year-over-year improvement, plus 36 in MLB history. No team has ever gone from 100 losses to a division championship. As Bob Nightingale said, the Royals could become the first team in baseball history. And keep this in mind. Baseball has been played a long time. It's not like they just started playing yesterday. The Kansas City Royals could become the first team in baseball history to lose 100 more games in a season and win their division the following year. And this division's still up for grabs. I still like the Royals better at this point with run differential than I do Minnesota and I do Cleveland. I mean, good teams find a way to, you know, rise at the end. I heard Carrington talking about it. It was a good point because he mentioned something he had heard. It kind of reminds you of Cleveland of Philadelphia, the Eagles last year in football, and they were so good in the beginning, they kind of came back to the pack. But the bottom line is, Matty Q is your manager of the year. It's not even close. For a team that just won 56 games a year ago, it will be in the playoffs this year. I mean, who the hell is going to take their spot in the playoffs? I know they lost today. They got a chance to make it up to Cleveland right away. And, oh, by the way, the Royals have Houston next. We'll see what happens. The Royals swept Houston earlier this year, and clearly Houston's playing a lot better than what they did at the beginning of the year. But I will say this. In the last nine games between Kansas City and Houston, Kansas City's 8-1. Kansas City was 5-1 against them last year, and that was the team that made it to the ALCS. The Royals won 56 games, but they hammered the Houston Astros throughout the regular season. Again, 8 of the last 9. The Royals have beaten. Not saying it's going to happen this year. They've only put them three times this year. It was a different-looking team this year. But as far as the Royals are concerned, they go back to the wild card at this point, which still gives them plus two games over Minnesota, four over Boston at this point. I'm not concerned about these teams. To me, the Royals are playing better baseball than anybody. But Matty Q, no question about it, he's the manager of the year.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I mean, there shouldn't even be an argument.
I don't think there should be an argument either.
He's the odds-on favorite at this point, at least this morning. I don't know if they've changed this afternoon, but they go back and
the
forth.
The fact that he's got a team that a year ago had one of the worst seasons in franchise history, and he's got them in contention. He's got them with one of the best records in the major leagues, one of the best records in the AL, and one of the best run differentials in baseball. They still have a significantly better run differential than the Guardians, who are in first place in the Central. Like, yes, he deserves a ton of credit because it's not easy turning a baseball team around like that, especially when you got a bunch of younger guys, a lot of these guys have never experienced winning at any meaningful level, and he's got them in that right mindset to go out there and perform. Yeah, he absolutely deserves it.
Stephen Vogt and Matt Quatero are both at minus 110 right now. Again, there's no competition here. Stephen Vogt took over a better team. It was a better team. A lot more expectations than what Kansas City had this year. Kansas City hit the over-under last year, but in the history of baseball, to lose over 100 games and win your division the next year, never been done. To me, I mean, it's a no-brainer. If he didn't win Manager of the Year, it's an absolute joke of an award, which I think a lot of these awards are becoming jokes anyway. The Comeback Player of the Year, they're trying to urge people now to vote on just on your physical limitations, not just your ability. Like if you sucked and then good the next year, but if you were, you know, hurt the previous year, like Joe Burrow last year, and then coming back this year, or Aaron Rodgers, you know, hurt early in the year, then coming back and having a good season, so Yeah. So that's what I think about Matty Q. I know people were upset about the Royals. Some were taking him too seriously. I mean, he lost to a team, a good team. Cleveland's a good team. That bullpen's great. And those hits that were dropping weren't exactly rockets or lasers. They just weren't. I mean, they were seeing eye hits that Cleveland was getting. They got some fortunate hits. They won the game. I mean, you're going to lose games, but they won 3 of 4. Royals swept them in a doubleheader, beat them last time, but 3 out of 4. Hey, if they just lose the second game of the doubleheader, do we care at all if they've won last two? No, you don't.
Like I said, I just think people are being unrealistic with expectations. Like, you remember, what was it, like in late June, almost 2 months ago now, when people were really mad about them losing to the Marlins, game to the Marlins? Like, they were freaking out. And I know it was coming off the heels of getting swept by the Rangers. But, again, like, people were freaking out about the one loss to the Marlins. And it's like, look, if you don't watch enough baseball to understand how this goes, I get it. I understand it. But you're being irrational here. Like, losses happen all the time in this sport. It is a sport where you have to prepare yourself for a lot of failure in it. The best players still fail at the plate 60-65% of the time. So, like, what are we freaking out about?
Yeah, if you win 100 games, you're still losing 62.
You're still losing 62 of them.
It's a lot.
Like, think about it. It's really impressive when a team wins 100 games. Like, that's rare. It doesn't happen every year. And it's incredibly impressive when it happens.
And this year, no one's on pace to even do it.
Right? That's what I'm saying. And so it's like, you have to understand how much failure goes into this sport. And so being angry about something that's going to happen in the sport is a little ridiculous. That's like being furious every time the Chiefs get a 3 and out on offense. Like, you're going to be pissed off a lot because the Chiefs do get a lot of 3 and outs, because every football team gets a lot of 3 and outs in the NFL.
Yeah, 100%. It just cracked me up, because this team is everything you want it to be. The hitters on this team, they were the first team to have 3 guys over 70 ribs, over the first team to have 3 guys over 80 ribs, and then I had the first team to have over 3 guys with 90 ribs. And they're going to have 3 guys over 100 ribs. By the way, I'll compare this Royals team with the 14 or and 15 Royals teams that went to the World Series. You would be shocked about how much better offensively this team is than those teams. Well, one went to Game 7 of the World Series. The other one won it. But this is a good ball team. And I understand the bullpen's been the limitation. Bullpen got roughed up a little bit today. But yesterday was everything you wanted and more. 3 batters were hit from Cleveland, but I don't think any of them were intentional. Darn it. One was an 80-mile-an-hour changeup. There's like an 83-mile-an-hour changeup as well, and an 85-mile-an-hour slider. I mean, they weren't intentional. I kind of wish they just would have gone ahead and plunked Ramirez. I like a good baseball fight from time to time, but 3 batters were hit. I just don't think any of them were intentional. Coming up next, the Chiefs make moves today. What's it say about this roster? We'll discuss that next.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero, Jay Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7965. Same as the phone number, same as the text number. It is a different number than it used to be. Now that we're 96.5 The Fan, that's what the number is. By the way, I don't know if you've seen this, Chris, just making its news. The Giants are unretiring number one for Malik Nabers.
Yeah, so I was about to say, that sounds like it would be for Nabers, right?
It's,
yeah.
Yes, for Nabers. The first professional football number ever retired.
Was that or like for like Y.A. Tittle or something?
No, it was Ray Flaherty.
Ray Flaherty,
was his name. Born in 1903. Was with the Giants from 1929 to 1931 to 1935. But the first number ever retired. So that's some high praise there, right? He goes, and Malik Nabers wrote a letter that says, "Thank you to the Flaherty family for allowing me to wear number one. For New York Giants, I understand the responsibility and will do everything in my power to honor the Flaherty family and this organization. I will wear the number with great pride. Can't wait for the season to start." It's the first number ever retired. That's pretty cool, huh? The fact that they just gave it up like that from elite neighbors.
Yeah, that's cool. Good on them. Good on him.
I watch at college, man. I like some elite neighbors.
I'm a big fan of
him. Yeah, I definitely like him, too. And Brian Thomas, by the way, too, with Jacksonville, one of my favorites as well. He's poised to have a good year if Trevor Lawrence can get him the ball. We'll see if that happens. The text line did respond and says, Jose Ramirez will not get hit until next year. The Royals can't afford any suspensions from a fight, but they will file that away, and then he'll get drilled next year. Could happen. I mean, they will be coming back to Kauffman Stadium. You can do it without a suspension, too. I mean, you can get away with it if you're first doing it. I mean, there's a way. That's why I miss Kyle Farnsworth, man, when he was with the Royals. It's like, put Farnsworth in, man. He'll drill you. Not only that, nobody would charge him. People have charged him, and they failed. And I remember when the Major League Baseball did an anonymous poll, and he was number one on there for players you would not charge the mound against. And I remember back in like 16, Vern and I were talking to Wade Davis before the game in the clubhouse. We asked Wade, because Wade always one of those, you know, tough guy stares as well. And we'd ask him, who's the toughest guy you've ever played with? And he said Kyle Farnsworth without even a second thought from his days back in Tampa. 913 says that's disrespectful, in my opinion. What's disrespectful, the number, or is it fighting? Which one is it? Because I don't know which is disrespectful. I see none of them being disrespectful. The number, if the family gave it up, that's perfectly fine. They'll go back to being retired.
I'm sure they inquired with his family before they decided.
They did. They asked Malik, Malik asked him, and they 100% granted it.
I'm sure that was permission granted on there.
Ray Flaherty, it's cool for the family, though. I mean, it is cool to have the first ever number retired. The guy did die in 1994, so it's been retired for a while. But the family gave permission for Malik Nabers to wear this number, and I think it's pretty cool that they did that anyway, that he asked them, and they went ahead and did it. Well, the Chiefs made some news today, too. What's it say about the roster? A lot of times they'll say that you make the biggest difference in your team March and April through the draft and free agency. That's when you make the biggest difference on your team. But I like the way Brett Veach has handled these moves, and I know there's people upset that people are getting cut and thrown up. But by the way, Justin Ross is back on the practice squad, and I know people are upset that Nico Remigio is back on the practice squad as well.
Well, Remigio wasn't going to make the team.
No, he wasn't. I mean, there was a chance if Juju doesn't come back.
There was not. I don't think there was any chance.
There was, I think there was going to be a seventh man.
I think it was going to be Remigio was definitely not going to be that.
Justin Ross,
man,
maybe. It was going to be one of the other.
I think it was going to be Ross or Kadarius Toney.
Yeah,
it was
going to be one of those. He may not be ready for week one. Remember, he's got the knee problem, so he may not be ready for week one.
Yeah. I definitely think that it's very plausible that Juju will not, because Juju's knees are bad.
It is. And, I'm just okay on that deal. It's like, all right, just show me what you got, because I wasn't wild about it in the beginning when he was released, and everybody's like, oh, bring him back. It's like, yeah, let's just see what he's got still, because life comes at you fast in the NFL. But the Chiefs made a move at Eric Scott, Southern Miss, former Southern Miss product. His defensive back was with the Cowboys. Played a base for Linwood, by the way, back in high school, and just a really good player in the Metro. That's fine. Bailey Zappe comes in as a third quarterback, so which different? Is it Chris Olatokun? You know, he's the guy that's been here.
Oladokun. Oladokun. I've never heard anyone say it.
You know,
like
it's both on YouTube, man.
I know, but
people mispronounce it. Oladokun.
Yeah.
South Dakota State.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. But he's been the third struggle. He didn't look good in the preseason. Matter of fact, some of those picks, he looked
bad.
He was looking right at the defense. He was telegraphing his passes.
He was really bad in preseason.
And you're not going to use your third stringer. I mean, it's nice to have somebody around for practice squad for the elevation if you had to do it with injury or something. It is a guy that started in the NFL. He's 4-4 career record starting in the NFL. Destroyed things at Western Kentucky that year that he was there, when he transferred from Houston Baptist. No, that's fine. It's third-string quarterback. It doesn't really matter. But it means that that's their other quarterback that they're going to keep. Again, it's with NFL experience, a former starter at a point that you're getting here with Andy Reid, and I think that's very important to them. Samaje Perine comes over, and this is one, Chris, that I absolutely positively like. Yeah, it looks like they even tried to trade for him with the Broncos. But the Broncos, they couldn't agree to the trade terms.
Broncos are stupid.
So they had to cut him anyway, and they get nothing.
Stupid.
And they get nothing for him.
They could have got something.
They could have gotten something.
And they got nothing.
Allegedly, they tried to make a deal for him. They got nothing. And listen, P. Ryan's one of those guys where a lot of people, you know, looks like he's going to be cutting. They say, you want him? He's one of those I actually say, yeah. He's one of those guys that'll actually say yes. Do you remember back in college against Kansas? His true freshman year, he ran for a school record 4:27. You remember that? Like the week before,
Samaje was really good in college at OU.
Oh, he was a stud.
He was very good.
Well, Melvin Gordon set the record of 4:08, right?
Yeah.
And then, boom, the next week, Samaje Perine against Kansas sets the record for 4:27.
I produced that game.
Oh,
that was back with Bob Davis. That was back when Bob Davis was calling the game. Still, I produced that game.
427 yards in one game.
And I'll tell you this, man. Every time Samaje broke one, I've never heard Bob Davis sound so dejected than when Samaje was breaking these runs off. It was kind of sad, but it was also kind of funny at the same time because Bob, you know, obviously he was great at his job, but he couldn't make that sound good. So yeah, no, I produced that game you're talking about.
I mean. Against the Chiefs, he had some good games, like in the postseason a couple years ago. Last year, he was with Denver. They had 53 carries, 438 yards, but it was the second highest average per rush in his career at 4.5 yards. But I think part of the reason he's here, number one, he's a good pass blocker. So you trust him back there with Mahomes, also a very good third down back. Not only can he pick up the first downs, and I think you're going to have Carson Steele doing that too, but last year, he did catch 50 passes. He got 50 for 455. That's a career high on both for Samaje Perine. So that's what you want, Chris. You want someone that can catch the football and block. Wouldn't expect a ton of yards. I doubt he's going to hit the even 238 yards rushing. But can he catch, you know, 40 to 45 passes? Very, very possible.
He's not going to catch 40, 45 passes. They're not going to use him that much. But here's the thing. He gives you value.
I disagree. I think he will.
Jerry McKinnon did, though. Yeah, but
Jerry McKinnon did.
Yeah, but I think they're gonna use Carson Steele a lot. I think they're gonna use
have an extra back, and
he's not getting 40 receptions this year. That's not gonna happen. But I do think he does have a lot of value because he can catch passes, pass protect. He is a good runner. Having him come off your bench, I think there was some real concern with Clyde coming off your bench there as your halfback there. And now you're going to have a guy that you could, if something were to happen, God forbid some injury happens to Pacheco, now you've got a guy that you can trust to come in and play for a game or two or however long Pacheco's out. You could probably split carries with him and Carson Steele. And, you know, you're talking about a pretty punishing, powerful backfield there because both thought, like, Samaje is one of those guys, he doesn't shy away from contact. Carson obviously doesn't. Pacheco obviously doesn't. So, like, now you get a lot tougher in the run game because, you know, for the while, the Chiefs have kind of been one of these, like, they were a little finesse after Kareem Hunt. You know, with Damian Williams, pretty finesse-type running situation. Clyde, finesse-type running situation. Pop has helped bring some of that violence back in the run game, but it's nice to get some extra guys in there like Carson Steele and Samaje that can also bring that violence in the run game. And also, they're guys who are going to be effective in the passing game because short passing game, I think, is going to be really, really big for the Chiefs this year now that you have some legitimate deep threats with Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown.
And against the Chiefs in that game that was 23-20, Kansas City Chiefs, Samaje Perine did have a touchdown in that game. He also had three catches in that game as well. So he's back. And also a dude that I really, really liked from the draft 3 years ago. Well, 2 years ago, because he played 2 years, his third year, was Cameron Thomas from San Diego State. Teammate of the punter of the Chiefs, Matt Ariza at San Diego State. Had 77 freaking pressures his final year. He plays on the other side of the ball. The guy is a disruptive run stuffer. You'll say, well, why'd they just get a seventh rounder for him? That's fair. It's a fair thing to ask. But the one thing about him is he was drafted 4-3. Then when Gannon took over, they switched to 3-4. So hand in the dirt defensive end is now a stand-up linebacker. That's just not what he is. He played a lot of 3-eye, 4-eye and you name it in college, they've switched to a 4-3, or they're at 4-3 now with Spags, which is much different than what he was doing in Arizona. And the dude has a motor. But this is something I see as 100% scheme fit with this guy.
A lot of people don't understand that, like, good players don't always play good in every system. And so a guy like Cam Thomas doesn't fit in a 3-4. He's just, because he's not an outside linebacker. He's not going to play like a 5-tech on the defensive line. That's just not who he is. So if he's not a scheme fit for what you're looking for, why would you have him on your roster? It's the same thing with Justin Houston. Like, if you remember, Justin Houston got let go when Spags came in, and it wasn't necessarily an indictment on Justin Houston's ability as a pass rusher, because he still has had good years since he got released by the Chiefs. He just wasn't a fit for what Spags wanted as a defensive end, because he was more of an outside linebacker.
And Cam Thomas did lead preseason football. Take that with a grain of salt. With 10 pressures, he did have 3 sacks. 2 of them came from the inside. This is what I wrote about him. I mocked him to the Chiefs a couple years ago because I really liked this guy.
You did?
Well, I just really liked the fit with Steve Spagnuolo. And I had it in the 3rd round. By the way, he's taken the 3rd round. And this is what I wrote about him. Could play anywhere in the defensive line and can. Whether it's a 3-tech, 4-I, or 5, it doesn't matter for the versatile Thomas, which is exactly what the Chiefs need. He led FBS with 77 pressures while becoming the Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year. He had 20.5 tackles for loss. So he plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage with 10.5 sacks. His relentless attitude would fit in well and be nasty on the Chiefs' defense. That's what I wrote about him 2 years ago. So I was really, really happy when the Chiefs went out and got one Cam Thomas, because it's one of those guys. Every year you have kind of your favorite guys. Like last year we were like Ben Sennett from Kansas State. He's doing really well in Washington right now.
He's probably going to get some playing time over Earth at some point this year, yeah.
The year before it was Hunter Luepke. So
yeah,
he did have a touchdown last year, so we'll see what happens.
Dallas actually used him, so that's nice. I like this move just because he fits into their system. And here's the thing. He doesn't have to be a starting edge rusher. He just has to be a good rotational guy.
It's what they like to do.
If he ends up being what Mike Dana has been the last few years, that's an incredibly successful trade, because you are trading a conditional 7th round pick. That is excellent value if you get a rotational edge rusher. So, yeah, I like this move, especially because he can rush on the inside. He does the thing that they want. Charles Omenihu to do. Charles Omenihu obviously is not going to be able to play at least the first 4 games of the season because he's on the PUP, right? So he's not going to, you're going to miss time with him. So yeah, it makes sense. Get someone that can kind of fill that role, kind of play the 3-tech when they run NASCAR in 3rd down.
He's a little bit undersized, a little bit 270. You know, about
yeah,
that.
But like, even Mike Dana's 255, and he still rushes incredibly well from
the
3-tech.
He'll be in
the
rotation. I don't think it says a ton about Felix. You would like to see better stuff from Felix this year?
I think
year?
It might say something about Felix.
A little bit, but not
because
everything.
It's not like, it doesn't mean that they're giving up on Felix.
No.
It's just, I think this is an insurance policy just in case Felix don't got it.
Oh, and by the way, the Hunter Luepke is still, he did make the team in Dallas.
I mean, he made the team last year.
And by the way, the text line did correct. It's the guy that put the work for that honor. Now, no one will ever remember him. He goes, I don't know, maybe I'm a salty biatch. LOL. No, I mean, people are going to remember, because who would have known Flaherty's name?
I mean, how many people knew Flaherty's name before?
Yeah, I mean, Ray Flaherty. I didn't know he was the first number ever retired in the NFL. I mean, but you know what? We all know Ray Flaherty more now than we probably ever
have. That's what I'm saying. How many people knew who this guy was before?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
modern day, probably not that many.
He played 1935 for the Giants. So
that's what I'm saying. He played almost 100 years ago.
Yeah, we're talking about Ray Flaherty now. Yeah. Some elite neighbors went to the family. You probably talk to the grandson or great-grandson.
Oh, I guarantee you there was a lot of dialogue there between the Giants, Malik Nabers, and Flaherty's family. And I'm pretty sure there was some monetary compensation that was a part of this.
Malik helped out.
I'm sure.
Maybe
they get like a portion of jersey sales or something. I don't know. They get a little cut. But yeah, no, believe me, they're fine with the move. If they're fine with it, I don't care.
Yeah. So 100% they're going to be fine on that. Coming up next, though, some Tom Brady stuff for the broadcast booth. Remember, he's trying to become a part owner of the Raiders for a little sliver. It's actually kind of funny. I wonder if those will hamper Tom Brady or not next.
Welcome to your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero put our latest character concerns out. This is After Hours, by the way, but Character Concerns, our NFL draft podcast for Kansas City, came out on Tuesday. We always record that earlier in the week, so check that out.
Just watch all the games this weekend, starting tomorrow. There's a lot of great games.
Oh, we'll get into them. Five straight days of college football. By the way, Chris,
just watch them all.
I go on. I told the fellas this morning at 6:45 every Wednesday. I'll go on and talk college football with Bob and Dusty. I did this morning at 6:45, and Bob had asked me if I had my beer ready for the 5 days of college football, and I said, yeah. As a matter of fact, I had Hy-Vee delivery coming within the hour.
I heard you.
Oh, did you? 10 a.m. Yeah. I had the Hy-Vee delivering a couple cases of beer. So, yes, I am ready. By the way, that thing's so convenient to use. I know I'm not getting paid by Hy-Vee. I'm just saying I love the store. They bring the beer to my house with some other groceries and stuff, too. It sounded like I just got beer. But that is the genesis of my situation. Speaking of Tom Brady, you know, is going to the broadcast booth, the number one booth, kicking Greg Olsen out of there.
I hate that.
Yeah, Greg Olsen was getting good. But, you know, he's trying to become a partial owner of the Vegas Raiders, which would be tough to stomach as it is. But
why would it be tough to stomach?
Because he's with the rival now. You know, it's like Tom Brady's just always been a thorn in the ass.
I don't care.
Well, here's the funny thing about it. And this is
he can invest in a losing franchise all he wants.
But this is from ESPN. It just came out a little bit ago. He will be forced to abide by unique and severe restrictions in his dual role as a Fox broadcaster. So the league confirmed to ESPN that among them restrictions, Brady would not be permitted to be in another team's facility, would not be permitted to witness practice, and would not be permitted to attend broadcast productions meeting, either in person or virtually. The lack of access, they say, to coaches and players before games could be severe restrictions. Those meetings at which a broadcast crew meets with the matchup's head coach and key players are often the lifeblood of insight. That's 100% true. Like Greg Olsen, he could go to your practice.
All those guys are.
Like, don't interrupt. They go to your practice. Yeah. They talk to the players.
Kevin Harlan is interviewing all those players before. Trent Green interviewing all those players before.
To me, that's pretty severe for a number one analyst on a network. To be honest with you, Chris, you may want to table this thing, Tom, with the Raiders.
Because I think he's going to table it.
This
is
a major factor for ESPN.
This is the reason why it just doesn't make any sense. Because, like,
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
He's trying to do things beyond the booth. Why is he trying to commentate too? Like, it just, he's got a lot of money. I know the crypto thing hurt him financially, but he's still got a lot of money.
And he prints money.
He's involved. He's got his hands in a lot of stuff. And it's like, he doesn't need to be in the booth. He could do what Peyton is. There's a reason why Peyton is not sitting in the booth, because he doesn't want to be at the whim of someone else. He doesn't want someone else to be his boss. He wants to be his own boss.
Well, I got some more on Peyton Manning in just a little bit. Something you and I are
so it's just like it doesn't make a lot of sense why Brady wouldn't just kind of copy the Manning playbook and just be involved in football in a way that's not like traditional media.
And break it down. So I'll talk more about Manning a little bit. I do want to mention this before we hit the break. Check this out, Chris. On MLB on Twitter, this line is enormous. Fans in LA started getting in line for Shohei Ohtani's bobblehead giveaway over 7 hours before
Just buy it on eBay.
It's going to be worth it standing in line for 7 hours.
Yeah,
You might not even get it.
Just buy it on eBay, bro.
Yeah, you might not even get it after 7 hours there. I mean, seriously, man, you're waiting in line. What do you have to pee and whatnot and eat and drink? And stuff.
Y'all like, doing too much, bro.
I've never been into the giveaways, man. I mean, I've taken the bobbleheads and stuff and they brought them to the press box or something afterwards. But honestly, it's no sweat to me either.
I mean, if you're one of these people that goes to the stadium and waits in line and you're cool with it, you don't care, fine, you know, more power to you. Ain't no damn way I'm going to be out there waiting for nothing. I'm not waiting for an Xbox. I'm not waiting for a PlayStation. I'm not waiting to get into any sporting event longer than 30 minutes. Like, that's it. Tops 30 minutes. I'm not waiting any longer than that. I'm cool. Like, I don't need to have the best seat. I don't need to be up front. I don't need to get all of the giveaways. I don't care. I'm generally going to a sporting event for the game. And I have ordered stuff off of eBay that were given away at events before, and I'll do it again, and I don't have a problem with it. Even if you got, like, if you really want that bobblehead, cool. But, like, I'm not going to spend 7 hours of my time waiting for a bobblehead.
You know, this is kind of get off my lawn-ish, Chris, and I don't know if you feel the same way. But even if I got into a restaurant or something, and it's not typically all that busy, and they say, well, you got a 25 or 30 minute wait.
If it's over, I'm gone, if it's over 20, I'm good.
I'm gone.
If it's over 20, I'm good.
Yeah, because 20, usually they
because I can go somewhere else.
Yeah, usually they tell you 20, it's only going to be like 10 or something like that. Then these,
yeah, sometimes it's fact. If it's over 20, I'm good.
I'm gone. I'll just go to somewhere else. I mean, I'm good. I don't need something like that.
Yeah, like there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of restaurants out there. Like, I know Cheddar's be getting a line real quick.
There's a lot of bars open with food and everything else.
Sometimes, like, Texas Roadhouse.
You can sit your ass at a bar.
A lot, but nah, there's other places. Like, I
will leave, man. I'm impatient. I'm cool. Like, if you get a line, I'm like, you're not that great. You're not that special.
20 minutes, man. 20 minutes.
I'm with you, man. I don't even go 20 minutes. I mean, I just look in there and I see the line. I'm calm before I even go in.
Because I know,
I'll see people outside waiting. You know, I'm like, okay, we're good.
Yeah, because I remember, like, one time I went on a date years ago and I was going to go to Jack Stack over in Lee Summit, like, not long after it opened. And it was like, it's a 45-minute wait. I was like, I'm good. There's plenty of other restaurants around. I'll go to B-Dubs across the parking lot. Like, I don't care. We cool. Like, I don't need it that bad. There's Jack Stack or other places. There's Jack Stack not far away from where I live. Like, we cool. Like, I ain't got to go to this one. So, yeah, no, I'm not going to wait more than 20 minutes.
Yeah, I matter of fact, I was looking and see the people waiting. If there's people outside, we're good. I'll just drive to the next spot. You know what? End all, you just order the food. Honestly, I just don't like waiting in lines. I don't know how impatient you are, but
I mean, like I said, if it's like a sporting event, 30 minutes or whatever. But like, I'm not trying to stand here for 2 hours waiting to get in. I don't need it that bad. Like, there's other good things out there.
Oh, and by the way, Ari Myrov just tweeted out that the Falcons are trading Taylor Heinicke to the Chargers for a conditional 6th-round pick to be a backup for Justin Herbert. We take time when we come back. I want to know how you're going to consume this weekend, Chris. Text line as well. 913-586-7965. How are you going to consume college football starting tomorrow? Did you let your significant other know? Did you let your wife know? Hey, man, I'm off limits for 5 days. Tell you what I'm doing next.
Follow Fesco and Dusty on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. 96.5 The Fan.
And welcome back to After Hours, Jay Binkley, my dude Chris Unocero with me. All those spices and I choose salt. I am a little salty tonight. I am. Here comes another get off your lawn take, Chris. So college football is very important. Football in general is important. And this weekend, you don't have NFL football, so you really consume the college game.
Oh, you could do that during NFL football.
Well, I do that too. On Saturdays, it's about college football.
That's not a this weekend thing. That's a all of fall thing.
And Friday, for many years, was high school football on Friday night, which we both enjoyed. But how are you consuming this week? And I'll never forget this. This my ex-wife had said, she was going to watch a Chiefs game with me. It's before I was in media and stuff like that. And I think I had the Rams game on or something like that. This is a long time ago. And said, oh, you watch other games too? I said, why don't you have a seat? Why don't you have a seat? Let me tell you who the hell I am. It's I'll never forget Evel Knievel when he's on with Jim Rome. He goes, you know who the hell I am? You know, he's like, why do you jump over those canyons and fountains? And Evel Knievel just goes, hey, Jim, do you know who the hell I am? Very succinct what he did there.
I should say that next time my girlfriend asks why I got to watch so much football.
Do you know who the hell I am?
Who the hell I am?
Well, you and I have scouting to do.
Yeah, we do.
We put a podcast out every week. We have to know what we're talking about. We watch the draft picks from the Chiefs and stay well. We watch every snap of Xavier Worthy last year. We mocked him to the Chiefs back in September.
I think I watched every snap of Xavier Worthy like three times.
Oh, we did. And A.D. Mitchell, too. A lot of A.D. Mitchell.
Yeah. I saw every pass Quinn Ewers underthrew to Xavier and A.D.
By the way, speaking of college football, this from Barstool Sports says a Florida State fan has vowed to eat dog crap out of a red Solo cup if they lose to Boston College this week.
I'm rooting for Boston College. I want this person's life to be ruined for agreeing to do something so stupid.
They said they're going to put their feet to fire. You know, if you're going to go out there and make these proclamations.
I am not going to watch whatever video that they make of this.
Oh, no.
I'm good on that, but I will absolutely enjoy the fact that this person does that if Boston College. Let's go Eagles.
Yeah, yeah. Boston College Eagles at this point, putting all your trust in DJ Uiagalelei, a quarterback. Interesting why they do that. But when you put yourself out there like that, how many times have you seen someone pay off, you know, this wild bet? If you're not prepared to do it, don't say it, in my opinion. But college football will be interesting. And keep in mind, 20 out of the last 21 years, a team that made the AP top 25 or top 10 before the season started hasn't made ranked at all. So there's a big stretch of a couple decades where teams haven't made
rankings.
It
shows you just how meaningless those rankings are at the beginning.
And it was USC last year. They were a team that was ranked top 10, didn't finish ranked.
Yeah. But as I said, it just shows you the meaninglessness of preseason.
And Florida State might end up being that team, to be quite honest with you.
I mean, if we were putting together.
They were top 10. They were right at 10.
It was them and it was Ole Miss were the two teams I was looking at, like probably not going to be top 10. Like those are the two teams there. So, yeah, and I definitely wasn't shocked by Florida State losing.
Well, I'll put it this way. I'm going to manage the time well. Obviously, Saturday
is your big day.
Is a big college football day.
That's your big day.
Now, there's some free time on Sunday, you know, until the night and then Monday night with that game. So there's a lot of free time on the weekend. You know, I've been promised chicken chili, I think is what it is. I've been promised that. This weekend, we'll see which direction it goes. But we do this, and, you know, I've lost relationships because of this before. Seriously. All you do is sit around and watch football. It's like, it's my job. It's what I do. I mean, and back when the Royals in their heyday, you know, in 14, 15, 16, I was going to pretty much every game. You know that. You were out there a ton too, Chris.
And I wasn't out there as much as you were.
But I was like, you know, it's kind of a big part of what my job is to talk about, you know, the local team. So, yes, I'm sitting there with a notepad. I'm doing, quote, research on college football. But I've got my beer already set. I don't know how you're going to consume this week. You're not charting plays anymore, are you?
No. It didn't pay enough for the time it took, so I'm not doing that for PFF. This will be my second year not doing it. But, yeah, here's the thing. I'm going to be traveling, so I'm going to have to, like, squeeze in some of these games in some tight windows here because I'm going to be doing a lot of I'm going to be doing traveling this weekend. But I imagine, like, Sunday, Monday are going to be, like, real big days for me as far as getting film on some of the top schools, especially the local schools.
And we'll talk about them Monday. And the next week was we look up matchups and the players that are in.
So it's going to be a lot of time there with me working on watching that film and getting that together. So luckily Sunday and Monday are pretty light schedule wise, but, and Monday's, you know, FSU and Boston College, so it's not like a big matchup or anything. But, like I said, for me, because I'm traveling this weekend, I'm going to have to, like, work around and try to watch some of these games.
Well, we'll talk about these games later on. But coming up next, I will mention the Chiefs practice squad. They've said at this point, I think 15 members. They can have 16 on their practice squad. They've pretty much said that. Plus, look back at the 14 and 15 Royals compared to this year's team next.
Follow Cody and Gold on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.